Hi, this is Radio Lux Lucid. I'm your host, Steve Matthews, and today is Friday, August 12th, 2016. This is episode number 5, and the title of this episode is Nothing Beats a Good Old-Fashioned Establishment Freakout. Now, I have to admit, I guess maybe this is a little bit of the rebel in me, but there's nothing I enjoy more than watching somebody come along and tweak a self-satisfied, arrogant establishment. And to watch their reaction, to watch them howl, to watch the weeping and gnashing of teeth, if you will, it's not only educational, it actually can be downright funny. And I can think of a couple of examples here that have occurred this past week, and I thought that's what I'd talk about here on the program. And the two examples I'm thinking of, they're actually quite diverse examples. One of them comes from the presidential campaign this past week, and the other one involves a theme park put up by Ken Ham in Kentucky called Ark Encounters. And as I said, the two are very different, but in this they have one thing in common, and that is, as I said, they both challenge conventional thinking, and the reaction of those people who are sort of the entrenched establishment interests is really something to watch. It really is. Maybe taking a look at the comments of Donald Trump first. This past Wednesday, he made some statements that really shocked a lot of people. He accused Barack Obama of being the founder and Hillary Clinton of being the co-founder of ISIS. You're probably familiar with ISIS, of course. That's the terrorist organization in Syria and Iraq. Done some horrible things over the past couple years. Maybe you've seen some videos or heard some reports of some of the things they've done. And of course they've taken over major chunks of Iraq and the country of Syria as well. And we've been told that this is a tremendous threat to freedom and to the national security of the United States, and we have to go fight them. And of course we've had lots of bombing runs and such like over the past couple years. ISIS rose to power in 2014, so it's been over the last couple years where the U.S. has claimed to be fighting them. And there have been seemingly not a lot of progress made, at least by the U.S. in that time. And Trump comes out. You know, we've been told all of this. You know, we have to defeat these radical Islamists. We have to do this. And now here Trump comes around saying that the very people who have been hollering and shouting and carrying on that we have to defeat this Islamist organization are the ones who actually founded it. And this was just too much. This was just simply outrageous. It was unbearable. Such things cannot be said. There was a headline in the Washington Post to this effect that says that Trump's, quote, "Obama founded ISIS," unquote, comment exemplifies why his campaign is on the brink of doom. Pretty strong words there. Other people have described his comments about ISIS and impossible involvement by the U.S. federal government in ISIS in their founding. They've called his ideas hogwash, conspiracy theory, and these sorts of things. And admittedly, it certainly is shocking to hear what he has to say, but do we really know that he's wrong? You know, it's interesting that the establishment certainly wants you to believe immediately, just on a knee-jerk basis, that Donald Trump is absolutely 100% wrong about this. But I'm not at all sure that he is wrong about it. And there are a number of reasons, in fact, that strongly suggest that the U.S. has been involved with ISIS now for some time. One of the things, and this is something that you generally won't gather if you watch the evening news, One of the things that you have to realize, and this is really absolutely central to understanding anything that's going on between the U.S. and between the U.S. and ISIS, is the fact that ISIS and the United States actually have at least one goal in common, and that is to oust Bashar Assad. Bashar Assad is the president of Syria, and the U.S. has been calling for his ouster now for a number of years. He needs to be removed. And interestingly enough, ISIS, as an organization, wants to remove Bashar Assad. So, I mean, just on that basis alone, there is you can see where there could be a potential for an alliance. I mean, if they both have the same end goal, would it be so unreasonable to think that they might find, that is, the U.S. and ISIS, find some way to work together? It doesn't establish the fact that Obama or Hillary were involved in founding that group, but it certainly points the way, or leaves that possibility open. But there's more to it than that, and as you dig into some of the things that have gone on in Syria over the last couple years, there's a lot of evidence that actually suggests that the U.S., to some degree or another, has been involved in creating and sustaining ISIS. And to look at a few of those things, I already mentioned one of them, and then the big thing to keep in mind is again, the fact that ISIS and the U.S. have a common interest. They both want to get rid of Assad. There was a second reason where you could see how it's possible that the U.S. may have funded ISIS was a document that was released. There was a document that was written in 2012 by an analyst with an organization called the Defense Intelligence Agency. The Defense Intelligence Agency, it's sort of the CIA for the military. It does sort of the same sorts of things. It's an intelligence gathering organization, as the name would suggest. And there was a report that was written in 2012. And the report suggests, well, in fact, let me read a quote to you from this report. It says, if the situation unravels there, and it's talking here about in Syria, if the situation unravels, there is a possibility of establishing a declared or undeclared Salafist principality. Salafist principality, Salafism, that's a school of Sunni Islam. ISIS is a movement of Sunni Islam. So this article written by the Defense Intelligence Agency says that there is a possibility of establishing a declared or an undeclared Salafist principality or a Sunni Islam principality in eastern Syria. It raises this possibility in 2012. Now remember that ISIS didn't get going until 2014. But this Defense Intelligence Agency report continues, and it says this, quote, and this is exactly what the supporting powers of the Western governments want in order to isolate the Syrian regime, which is considered the strategic depth of the Shia expansion. So what all this is saying, just to maybe kind of put that in a little more familiar terms, what this is saying in 2012, the Defense Intelligence Agency raised the possibility that you could establish a Sunni Islam principality in eastern Syria that would fight against the Syrian regime and isolate it. The reason that the U.S., or at least one of the stated reasons that the U.S. wants to go after Assad, is because he's considered to be an ally of Iran, and the U.S. has very much been working against Iran for probably going on close to 40 years now. And of course, what this Defense Intelligence Agency document predicts in 2012 is exactly what took place 2 years later in 2014. Now, it doesn't specifically say that the U.S. is going to go out and establish it. It doesn't say Barack Obama is going to go do this thing. But it does say there is a possibility of establishing a declared or undeclared Salafist principality. So, I mean, there was at least one person within the U.S. government, and probably a faction within the U.S. government, that very much wanted to do this thing. That's a second reason for thinking that there may be a close connection between Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and ISIS. Now, here's the third reason. ISIS, one of the ways ISIS was getting money was by pumping, trucking, and selling oil in Turkey. And the U.S. did nothing to stop that. And when the Obama administration was questioned about their lack of bombing of the oil fields that were being used by ISIS, well, the Obama administration said, quote, because we didn't want to do environmental damage and we didn't want to destroy that infrastructure, end quote. Now, on the face of it, that's a pretty absurd reason. I mean, if ISIS is really the threat to the security of the United States that the Obama administration would want us to believe, and you know, that we should, you know, risk life and limb and go in and fight this organization, well, you know, you don't pull punches, you go for the jugular. I mean, that's an absurd reason to say that they're afraid of the environmental damage. I think a much more likely reason is because they wanted ISIS to be able to have that source of income. They wanted ISIS to be able to pump the oil. They wanted ISIS to be able to sell the oil. There is a report in the London Financial Times that ISIS was earning about $1 million a day from the sale of this oil. Well, that was money that could go to fund the ISIS army, keep them in the field, keep them fighting against Assad, keep them furthering the goal of the United States in Syria. So I think that was allowed to go on intentionally. A fourth reason. ISIS really surprised everyone, not only with their brutality, but with their slick videos they produced and the social media skills. Well, where did all those come from? I mean, did these guys just come out, as experts at Facebook and YouTube and video production, or maybe did they have some help? Some people seem to think that maybe they did have some help. And that certainly is a possibility. A fifth reason to think that ISIS has received substantial Western support. This awesome fleet of matching Toyota technicals. You may not know what a technical is. If you've ever seen any of these news reports from some of these third world battlegrounds, you know, where these African warlords and Middle Eastern warlords are fighting it out, you always see, and it's almost always a Toyota pickup truck with a 50 caliber machine gun or some such heavy weapon mounted in the bed of the pickup truck. And they call those technicals. And for whatever reason, the warlords and insurgents and terrorists the world over seem to really have this thing for the Toyota Hilux pickup truck. Apparently it's pretty close to indestructible. It's their weapon of choice, so to speak. And the folks at ISIS, they not only did they have a lot of late model Hilux trucks, but they were all matching models. You know, they probably didn't go buy these all from Baghdad Bob. The fact that they were all the same model strongly suggests that they may have all been sourced from the same place. And where are you going to get something like that in the Middle East? You know, who was supplying this type of thing to them? You know, who supplied them with this matching fleet of Toyota pickup trucks? Another reason for wondering why, you know, or maybe points to U.S. involvement with ISIS. A sixth reason is the fact that the U.S. spent a lot of time, about a year and a half or so, supposedly fighting ISIS and made almost no progress. Well, Russia was invited in earlier in 2016 by Bashar al-Assad to fight ISIS, and Russia, within a matter of really just a few weeks, accomplished vastly more in fighting ISIS than the U.S. had accomplished in a year and a half. Now, how is that possible? Is the U.S. that incompetent? Is Russia that good? Well, I mean, I suppose that's one explanation. But what I think is maybe a more reasonable explanation is I think that the U.S. so-called attacks on ISIS were designed to fail. I don't think the U.S. wanted to hit ISIS hard because ISIS actually represented U.S. interests in Syria. There is another reason for believing that there's close connections between the U.S. and Syria, and the U.S. and ISIS, and that is the some of the emails that were recently released by Julian Assange. Julian Assange recently released some of these. He's the WikiLeaks founder. He's the guy with WikiLeaks. And he talked about how some of the hacked emails from apparently from Hillary's server in her bathroom pointed to a weapons flow that was signed off by Hillary to send weapons to Syria, including to ISIS. In fact, I'll read you the quote. This is what Julian Assange said. This is from a July 25th quote. He said, quote, "Weapons flow going into Syria pushed by Hillary Clinton into jihadist possession within Syria, including ISIS. That's there in those emails." So, you know, Hillary's here funding or sending weapons to ISIS as Secretary of State. Now, when we're dealing with analyzing something like this in a foreign policy type event like this, you don't have perfect knowledge. You have little bits and snippets and pieces here and there, and you have to put together something. It's a bit of a mosaic. And when you analyze, when you look at all of the pieces of information, you have to ask yourself, you know, what direction do all of these point in? You know, what's the most logical way to fit these different pieces of the puzzle together? And if you look at the sum total package, you know, some of the reasons that I've just articulated here, when you look at those reasons, when you look at the fact that that the U.S. and ISIS have a common goal in getting rid of Assad, when you look at the fact that that U.S. intelligence talked about the advantages of creating a group like ISIS in eastern Syria in 2012, 2 years before ISIS came about, when you look at the fact that the U.S. did nothing to really interrupt the sale of oil by ISIS and the profits that they were making out of that, all during the time when the U.S. was supposedly fighting ISIS, when you look forth at the video production, the social media skills of ISIS, you know, where did they get those? You ask yourself that. Fifth, when you look at all of the Toyotas that they got, the matching Toyota trucks, and not just Toyota trucks, but all the American weapons that they have. ISIS has tons of American weapons. Now, how did they get all those? Sixth, when you look at the fact that the U.S. made very little military progress against ISIS, but Russia, in just a fraction of the time, knocked ISIS back on their heels. When you look at all of those things, you put them together, you ask yourself, well, what picture does this draw, does this create for us? And of course, a seventh reason is the fact that Hillary is directly linked to sending arms to ISIS. When you look at all of those together, there's a preponderance of evidence. In fact, maybe even if you wanted to talk about this in terms of a court case, I think it's even proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the U.S. was involved with ISIS from the very beginning, and that they've continued to foster ISIS and work with them sort of as a proxy army in the country of Syria for the purpose of overthrowing Bashar Assad. And of course, Trump's come out and he said this. And when he said this publicly, he's really freaked out a lot of people. He talked about this sort of thing several months ago. Now, this is maybe back in June. He made some comments about this, about the U.S. involvement in with ISIS. And of course, he was denounced by all these foreign policy experts in at Time magazine. His arguments or his comments were said to be ignorant. They were said to be willfully ill-informed or ridiculous, hogwash. And of course, everybody's favorite, they were also said to be a conspiracy theory, as though somehow no one's ever conspired to do anything. I mean, when somebody calls something a conspiracy theory or calls someone a conspiracy theorist, I mean, the whole point to doing that is to simply shut down any discussion. To end the argument, it's not thinking, it's just a way of pointing at someone and saying, well, that person is really beyond the pale of polite society and we shouldn't even consider anything he says. And these were the foreign policy experts. They huff and they puff and they want to blow the house down of Donald Trump. And yet when you really stop and you analyze the case of, you know, that's behind U.S. involvement with ISIS, it's very, very strong. And that's something that people need to consider. I mean, and you know, the more the establishment freaks out about it, the more it makes me wonder if there's something there. I think Trump really struck a nerve with this. Now, Trump's acted like he's tried to back off some of his comments a little bit, and he's tried to say, well, he was being sarcastic. You know, and I don't know what type of games he may be playing, but I think what he said in calling Obama the founder and Hillary the co-founder of ISIS is probably not far from the truth. And it just sounds outrageous to people because we've been just fed nonsense for so many years in this country that when somebody comes along and tells the truth, we're shocked. You know, this can't be. Well, enough anyway about Donald Trump. I did want to mention a little bit about, or talk a little bit about, another subject, and that is the subject of the new park in Williamstown, Kentucky, called Ark Encounters. And this is a project that's got people all in an uproar. The evolutionist, the Darwinist, they're freaking out just the same way as the foreign policy establishment is freaking out about Donald Trump's comments about ISIS. It's got people all kinds of upset. In July, there's a park that opened. It's called Ark Encounter. It was founded by Ken Ham, by his group. You may be aware of Ken Ham. He's also the founder of Answers in Genesis. Answers in Genesis actually has a museum here located fairly close to where I live here in the greater Cincinnati area. And I remember when that museum opened several years ago, there was all kinds of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth that was going on about this this museum that opened up. And I had kind of a humorous story about that. I remember I was at work one time and I was sitting there waiting to get started, and the fellow sitting next to me started carrying on about what a bunch of idiots Christians are and how stupid they are. And I guess what prompted him to say this was there was an article in the local paper about the Answers in Genesis, the museum opening, and he was just very upset about this. And so I asked him. I said, "Well, okay. I get you. You don't think much of the whole idea of creation." So I asked him. I said, "Well, how do you think life got started?" And he replied to me. He said, "Well, aliens seeded the earth." And I about fell out of my chair. And I asked him. I said, "Well, what type of proof do you have for saying that aliens seeded the earth?" He said, "Well, I don't have any." He says, "Because the church destroyed it all," is what he told me. And, you know, and I told him, I said, "Well, you know, how is it you can sit there and say that Christians are stupid for believing the account of creation in the Bible? That's our evidence. It's what the Word of God says. That's why we believe it. And you condemn Christians and condemn them as stupid for believing something that's for believing the Word of God, while you, on the other hand, apparently think you're pretty bright, but at the same time have absolutely no evidence to back up your beliefs. Anyway, it was kind of an interesting discussion. I don't think I convinced him of anything, but I at least had a chance to talk to him about it. And it was a real eye-opening discussion, no doubt about it. Well, anyway, fast forward, I think that was back in 2007, so you fast forward 9 years here, 2016, and Ken Ham and his group have opened the Ark Encounter Park in Williamstown, Kentucky, which is just a little bit south of Cincinnati. It's not too far. Wright Street shot down I-75 between Cincinnati and Lexington, if you're familiar with that area. Well, at any rate, it's got a lot of establishment science types freaking out. There was an interesting story. It was actually disappeared on the NPR, National Public Radio website. It's an article written by Barbara King, who's apparently a retired professor from William & Mary College. The headline of this article reads this. It says, "There's no controversy. Let's stop failing our children on evolution." And she goes on to write some things here. She says, "Watching the NBC nightly news broadcast on a Friday earlier this month, I gaped as the last segment aired. Kevin Tibbles was reporting from the site of Kentucky's Ark Encounter, constructed by Christian fundamentalist, young earth creationist, and Answers in Genesis president Ken Ham. At the time, Ark Encounter was set to open to the public the following week." And she goes on and talks about, she goes on obviously to put down the whole idea of the Ark. And one of the things an argument that she makes, and it's one that I've seen other people make too, and somehow it's this idea that unless people are indoctrinated 24/7 in in Darwinism, that they're stupid. For instance, if you happen to believe what the Bible teaches about creation, about Noah's flood, about the ark, if you accept the literal truth of those historical accounts, well, you're stupid. And what's worse, if you go on to teach those to your children, well, you're guilty of making them stupid. That's really the essence of her argument. And of course, in her comments, she really echoes some of the same things that have been said over the last few years here by Ken Nye, or Bill Nye, excuse me. Some of you may be familiar with Bill Nye. Bill Nye, the science guy, he goes by. There was a debate that he met Ken Ham in a debate. Ken Ham, of course, being the founder of Answers in Genesis and also of Ark Encounter. And Ken Ham and he had a debate, I believe it was in January of 2014. And basically, Bill Nye said in that debate, again, if you believe what the Bible teaches about creation, if you believe what the Bible teaches about Noah's flood, you're stupid. And again, if you teach it to your kids, well, you're guilty of making them stupid as well. And it's kind of funny to read some of these comments by some of these scientist types and how worked up they get. If anyone dares to teach anything against Darwinism, it's like there's heresy in the Church of Darwinism or something, and they're quick to want to call to burn people at the stake, at least metaphorically anyway. And there's actually so the amount of teaching of Darwinism is so overwhelming in comparison to the teaching of biblical creation that it's almost like Bambi versus Godzilla. But these people can't stand the thought that someone somewhere might actually have the unmitigated gall to believe God and to reject Darwinism. And it's really kind of interesting to watch their reaction. Some people have gotten very upset at the idea that the state of Kentucky gave Gavark encountered something like an $18 million tax break. I think that there was a the state of Kentucky agreed not to assess taxes on Ark Encounter, I think, for the first 10 years of the park or some such thing like this. And there are some people who are very upset by this. And, you know, and I don't know that they... I don't know all the ins and outs of the legal arguments involved in that. But what I think is interesting is that they get that upset. Now, we're not talking here about a tax subsidy. We're talking here about a tax relief, where the state of Kentucky said, well, we're not going to tax you if you go and you develop this property and create a going concern of a business. You know, we're not going to tax you. Now, I mean, that's also actually fairly common. That's one way states, that's one technique that states use to attract or to retain businesses, is by negotiating various types of tax deals. And I don't know from that standpoint that what Ark Encounter got was somehow extraordinarily different from some other business and what maybe it had received. But it certainly got some of the Darwinists all out of sorts, and they rail on about how the fact that the Ark Encounter got this tax break. Well, one of the things that these people that are so upset about the creation or about Ark Encounter getting a tax break, what they don't tell you is all of the massive amount of funding that goes on to fund by the federal government to fund scientific research, almost all of which is either explicitly or at least implicitly Darwinist. I read something in 2015 that the federal funding of scientific research was something in range of $140 billion. Now, these are grants. This is actually money taken from U.S. taxpayers and given to people to do scientific research, probably most of whom are Darwinists. But that doesn't seem to bother the Darwinist crowd at all. I mean, they're perfectly fine with the government taking $18 billion from U.S. or, $140 billion from U.S. taxpayers and passing it out to people, probably most of whom are Darwinists and most of whom, at least, if not explicitly, at least implicitly, foster Darwinism in their research. But, you know, my goodness, if the state of Kentucky gives Ark Encounter an $18 million tax break, not a tax subsidy, mind you, but just tax relief, well, that's just the end of the world as we know it. So anyway, it's kind of interesting to watch the reaction, the sort of a freak-out reaction that you get from people to the idea of Ark Encounter. Well, we're getting on to a little past 30 minutes. I wanted to keep it under 30 minutes this week, and I apologize, I went on a little bit long here today. So I think we'll go ahead and cut it off for this week. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate that. And also keep in mind this. As we've talked about before, and as I've closed the show before, and I'm going to say this again, you know, no matter how bad things get, and we live in some pretty dark times, some pretty frustrating times, sometimes when it seems like nothing, particularly if you're a Christian, particularly is going our way. We live in a time, though, as frustrating as it is, God has promised that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And not only that, but he's also promised us this, and this is a promise to those who are saved in Christ Jesus, to those people alone, that all things that go on, whatever difficulties, whatever things that seem so terrible at the present time, whatever difficulties we face, that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose.